It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We start our study in dispensations today by looking once again at eternity future. This is dispensation number 9. Well, how can I call this a dispensation? Well, once again, I would remind you that a dispensation has to do with God and man and God. God has left man here to take care of his property. And it's sad that man has failed God through actually 8 dispensations. And we're now going into the 9th dispensation, and that is eternity. And man will not fail God here, because only saved people will enter into eternity. When I say saved people, I'm speaking of human beings. And the reason that there will be human beings on this earth in the eternity future, dispensation number 9, is because of things that have taken place in the past. The main thing that has taken place is the shedding of blood, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has made it possible for everyone to know Him as Lord and Savior. And that's another reason that there will be people in eternity future. And we've also looked how that God made a covenant with Abraham and Isaac. And these covenants that He made with Abraham, Jacob, these covenants, this covenant that He made with them is a covenant that cannot be broken, because it's all based upon Him. It's based upon God. Man cannot break God's covenant that He made with Abraham, Jacob, Israel. Jacob, actually, his name was changed to Israel, so God has made that covenant with Israel. And I left off last time speaking about Jacob, and we read a few verses. And I'm going to go back and start and read those verses again, and some to go with it about Jacob. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 7, well, it's about the covenant. It says in Hebrews 8 and verse 7, "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second." First covenant, I believe, is talking about when the Israelites were brought out of Egypt, when God brought them forth, because verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 8 goes on to say, "For finding fault with them, He saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Why? Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 9, it says, "Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord." In other words, the Jewish people, the Israelites, broke the covenant that God had made with them, but there's a difference between the covenant that God made with Abraham and Jacob. The covenant He made with Abraham and Jacob could not be broken, because He was the one that made the covenant with Himself and with these two, Abraham and Jacob. But now when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, He said, "You must do certain things for this covenant that I'm making with you in order for it to come to pass, for the things that I've promised you would come to pass if you did certain things." But they did not live up to what God had said they needed to do in order for that covenant to come to pass. Well, Jacob and Abraham had to do nothing to get this to come to pass. Israel has to do nothing for God's covenant to come to pass for human beings to live upon this earth. Verse 10 of Hebrews chapter 8 says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 11, "And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest." Now, we can also say that that verse applies to the millennium, where God is there, Jesus is there, he's the teacher. No man will have to learn from another man because Jesus is the teacher. He's the one who will teach not only in the millennium, but he will be teaching in eternity future. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness," God says, "and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." It's going to be gone. All sin is going to be gone. There'll be no sin. There'll be no iniquities in eternity future. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 13, "In that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away." Well, that covenant that he made with the Israelites, bringing them out of Egypt, out of the world, we'll say, out of Egypt, when he brought them out, once again, they had to do certain things for the covenant to be fulfilled. But they refused to do that. It was a conditional covenant, conditioned upon them listening to God and doing what he said. But the covenant that he made with Abraham and Jacob, that covenant was unconditional. He said, it's going to happen no matter what you do, it's going to happen. And also to David, we look to him and we see in 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 16, it says, "In thine house and thy kingdom shall be established." And let me stop here just a moment and ask a question that, and that verse is going to answer it. He says the kingdom's going to be established. Well, how long is it going to be established? "Forever before thee," God says to David, "thy throne shall be established forever." The only way it could be established forever is for people to be alive, human beings to be alive on this earth in new eternity. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7, "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth," even how long? "Forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." God's going to perform it. Jesus is going to sit on the throne, on David's throne. God's going to perform it. There's not going to be any way to get out of it, because God said it's going to happen, and that settles it. Well, there was a covenant that Christ made even with himself in Isaiah 65 and verse 18. It says, "But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy." Isaiah 65 and verse 19 goes on to say, "And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and my joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying." Well, God says everything's going to be new. Things are going to be changed. In Genesis 1, verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." This has not come to pass. This has not happened. This was God's perfect will for man in the beginning, but man failed God. The Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men." Why? Because all have sinned. Adam disobeyed God, and God had told him in the beginning what he wanted him to do, and Adam failed God. And man, once again, I remind you, has failed God through 8 dispensations that we've looked at, but the 9th dispensation, man will not fail God. Genesis chapter 1, I might say this, they won't fail God because of God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." And verse 28 of Genesis 1 goes on to say, "And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." I used to tell folks that there's one commandment that God gave to Adam and Eve back in the garden that was not broken, and that was to replenish the earth, and be fruitful and multiply. But you know, that ended because man has been butchering his babies for many years now. Over 70 million have been killed, babies, And they these people who advocate abortion, they like to tell people that these babies are simply pieces of flesh. They're fetuses. Well, they're not fetuses as such. They're babies. And when people realize that they're human beings that's being butchered, then I look back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, where he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Man has stopped doing that because he's killing his own offspring. He's killing the babies of this world. And man one day will give an account of that at the white throne judgment, unless they give their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ right now, unless they get saved and turn to the Lord. Now, I remind you that the Lord can save anyone. He can save a murderer like Paul the Apostle. He can save anyone who would call upon his name and choose him as Lord and Savior. Once again, Paul the Apostle murdered Christians. He was responsible for the death of people, but God miraculously saved him. It makes no difference who you are, what you've done. God is willing to save you. He's able to save you. How? Because he is God. He sent his only begotten Son into this world to seek and to save those who were lost. Jesus Christ invites all people to come to him. He said, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. In other words, he was lifted up on the cross of Calvary. He was lifted up. He said, if I be lifted up, he was. He said, I will draw all men unto me. That means that he was lifted up, he was crucified, he was buried, and he resurrected on that third day, and he's alive right now. And because he lives, you and I live. That is, those of us who have trusted him as Lord and Savior, we have eternal life. You can have that today, right now, if you will turn to Jesus Christ. The Bible uses the term repent. Repent means to have a change of mind. You're not going to go your way any longer. You're going to go God's way. You've decided that you know that you are a sinner because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You've decided that you can't get there on your own, that is, to heaven. You need Jesus Christ to save you, to come into your heart. The Bible says, the wages of sin is death. That's what sin brings, is death. Eternal death in the lake of fire. In fact, the Bible calls that the second death, the lake of fire. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but thank God, it goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's the gift that God wants to give each and every person who lives right now. He's done that throughout the time that man has been on this earth. He's done that right now. He wants you, as a person who needs Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you need to ask him to come into your heart right now. Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. Please come into my heart and save me. I want to see you one day, Lord, to thank you personally for saving my soul. If you'll pray a prayer, something like that, and mean it in your heart, Jesus Christ will save you. And save person, you need to be living for him today, telling other people that Jesus saves, telling them that Jesus is coming back for us in the clouds and that he wants them to go with you, to be with him as he says, come up hither. Get busy for the Lord. Let him lead and guide your life.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.